Morning, everybody.
Good morning, Grace.
Hey,
Good
Tara.
morning.
Good
Hey, Blake.
morning.
Okay, Grace, you're the host now. If
Yay.
you'll make me a co-host just in case.
Okay, wait. Let me get my act together.
Y'all know you've got, okay, there we go.
Okay, there's my video. How do we let other people share their video? Wait, first let me make you the co-host. What? First things first. Let's see. Co-host. Yes. Okay, Tara, I think you should be co-host now. And then, do I have to individually like open up everybody's video and stuff?
You shouldn't have to. They should be able to open their own, but.
Tara, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Giving us a message that you guys have the video stopped right now.
Okay.
Do we do that? How do we do that? Let's see. Where's Mike? There's Mike. I don't know how to do it. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Something
Should
come
I
through
give
there.
I know should I give you the host back for a minute? I'll give you the
Yeah.
host. Because I need to quickly run to the little girl's room. I'll be right back.
Okay, I've allowed panelists to start video. So you might be able to start turning your videos on. There you go. Yay, I love it when a plan comes together. Chief Wisco, I've double checked. We are recording, so.
Morning, Antonio. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning.
Glad to have you with us.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I could see everybody.
Hello, Grace.
Morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you, Antonio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Antonio,
Antonio,
I
this is
need
Grace
you to.
by Tony.
Yeah, it's usually by Tony, so.
Okay, Tony, I need you to do me a favor and go to your participants. I made you the host instead of making Grace the host. So if you'll go out beside your name, you should be able to assign me the host back TCFP Zoom.
Good morning, guys. It's Keith. Can y'all see me on the screen?
No.
That's what I was. I don't see myself, so I was wondering. It shows the video. Let's see.
Think you're on Daniel DeYeers, are you? It shows multiple DeYeers.
That does.
I'm going to change my name to Daniel DeYeer too, so
Me
that'll
too.
help a little bit.
I'm going to go ahead and leave.
Okay, Grace, you're set. Thank you, Tony.
Okay, wow, it's almost time.
Hey, Keith, did you register your own self on that and get your own link? That may be it. You may have to go back in from that original email that Deborah sent out with all the information and click on the register button and then register yourself. Because if you're using somebody else's link, it may. Yep.
I guess I got the email from Daniel, I guess, and it said I'm invited to the meeting and to click, you know, it says click here to join, I guess.
Yeah,
so you're using something else.
Yeah, you need to go back to the original, the notes that she sent you in an email, and then click on halfway through. It says that members of the public will have to register, and then just click on that link and register yourself real fast, and then it will send you your own personal link. With that way you have all your information on there.
Wow. Sorry, guys.
Jason? I feel like I'm your dentist.
Tara, are you recording already?
Yes.
Okay, good. Y'all be patient with me as host. When I try to go live on Facebook, sometimes it just takes a little massaging. So, is everybody here? Are we ready to start, Daniel? Or what do you think?
I don't see Jim Reedy.
Okay.
I'm here, or I guess I was, but I'm like I said, I don't have my own stuff up there yet.
Okay.
But I can sure hear and all that. Did you scan anybody see me? But other than that, I'm good.
Yeah, I think, Vince, I see you on there twice.
That's true. I do too.
You're muted.
I'm assuming one has a picture and one doesn't, correct?
Correct.
Well, let me see. I don't hate to try to delete one of them.
That's just
off of both of them.
Audio. So if you hit the internet audio, it's going to assign you a second spot on there. So,
well, that might be it.
And that's not really a problem, though, is it? I've had to do that in other Zoom meetings where I was on my phone and on my computer because my computer, the sound wasn't, the bandwidth wasn't good enough to get good sound.
Okay, Vince, your video disappeared, I believe. You're back.
Okay, so it's just Jim Reedy that we don't see. I had spoken to him a couple days ago. He was going to be here. I don't know if he's just having trouble logging in or...
They're probably having breakfast at the fire station right now.
Probably sore from that ladder climb he did yesterday.
Yeah, he's still in bed from that. That wore him out.
Chief Swindle, I like your glamour shots in the background. When did you take those?
I don't know which ones you're talking about. You're talking about the old fireman?
Yeah, you look like John Travolta.
Yeah, it looked good.
That is John Travolta. Yeah. No. Not at all.
So before we start, I have to get us set up to go live on Facebook, and that takes me like a minute or two. So, but I don't like to do it like way ahead of time because something always happens if I don't like it. Anyway, just trust me, last minute, doing it at the last minute always seems to work better than doing it ahead of time. Then I always have to do it over, so.
Let's go ahead and do it, Grace, let's go.
Okay, I'm ready. Let me do this. So, Mike, I know you're kind of familiar with this, so can you just like chime in when you see that we're actually live on Facebook? Because for some reason I can't see it. So just tell everyone, okay, we're live.
And, sure. We'll do it all right. In a minute. Hold on, we'll find out.
Hey, it's Jim. I'm just changing shifts, so I'll be listening in. And then when I get clear, I'll get back on.
Okay. I figured you were still in bed after your ladder climb, Jim.
Well, my butt is a little sore this morning.
Supposed to climb with your feet, not your butt.
Medic 14, Mick and Weekend 16,910.
All right, y'all. I'm going to hit the go live button. Here we go.
Let's go. You're good. Daniel, we're ready when you are, buddy.
Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Firefighter Advisory Committee meeting to order. If someone can tell me, do you have any idea how many folks are tuned in right now? Is there a way to see that besides us?
24.
How many?
24.
Got it. 24. Okay, I do see that on my screen, so I apologize. So before we get started, I would like to just take a brief moment to have a moment of silence for firefighter Patrick Bergman from the Killeen Fire Department, who passed away from occupational cancer at the age of 37. And being that this meeting today is going to address the injury report, I think it's important that we take a moment to silence just for a second and think about firefighter Bergman and his family and the Killeen Fire Department. And having said that, also at the last meeting, we said a prayer for Tommy Anderson, the chief of the Santa Fe Fire Department, the commissioner. And I want to report to everybody he's home. He's finally home after more than 100 days in the hospital, and he's on a long road to recovery, but he's doing well. And also recognize Chief Sam Greif of the Plano Fire Department, who had a serious bout with COVID, and he's back to work also, but he's still trying to recover from the effects of COVID, as well as all the other members of the fire service in Texas who've had a difficult last year and a half now with COVID. So having said that, Chief Schmidt, if you'll go ahead and do the roll call. Are you there?
Make sure you unmute yourself.
Modern technology, I apologize. All right, so roll call. Daniel DeYeer.
Here.
Daniel Buford.
Here.
Vince Abrego.
Here.
Daniel Anderson.
Here.
Jason Collier.
Here.
Jim Reedy.
Here.
Ken Swindle.
Here.
Keith Schmidt, I'm here as well. Ready to move to item two, Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Item two, discussion and possible action on the election of officers.
So
we... Mr. Chairman, real quick, we didn't hear Tony Ramos's name called out, but he is here.
Oh, sorry, Tony.
Welcome, Tony. You're just not on the list yet. That's all right.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, welcome.
You're there now.
Welcome. I apologize.
So I know by requirement, we're at our first meeting every year. We're supposed to vote on the presiding officer, the assistant presiding officer, or vice president presiding officer, and the secretary. So we'll do those, I guess, one at a time.
I'd like to make a motion to have Daniel Dierz, our presiding officer, Daniel Bufford is our vice, and Keith Smith is the secretary. If y'all are willing to, take those roles again.
Does anybody have any other nominations or any other names?
A second.
Okay, if there are no other names or no other nominations, then I'll go ahead and call for a vote. So the motion's been made and seconded for Daniel Dierz to be the presiding officer, Daniel Buford for the assistant presiding officer, and Keith Schmidt to be the secretary. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, motion carried.
Item three, adoption of the December 10, 2020 Firefighter Advisory Committee meeting minutes.
Okay, I've read through them and didn't see any, I didn't have any problems with the minutes from the last meeting at all. It looked good to me. So if anybody has a motion to approve,
I make a motion to approve as submitted.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Daniel Anderson, okay. All those are in favor of approving the last meeting's minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody disapprove? Okay, motion carried.
Item four, discussion of the 2020 data collected on firefighter injuries and possible action on developing recommendations to be submitted to the commission for approval and submission to the state fire marshal's office.
Morning,
Mr. Chairman, if I could just preface this with, you know, for years, we've always gotten this to the advisory committee in June. You get one meeting to look at it and make recommendations and send back up. So we have sped this up a little bit deliberately to give you guys an opportunity to see it, make some recommendations on maybe the layout and recommendations moving forward so that those can be included when it goes to the commissioners for their first reading in April. That way, by the time we get to the second reading in July, this thing has been vetted twice by you all, twice by the commissioners, and we probably have something ready to go. And the hope is to have some solid recommendations. I think a lot of progress has been made in the last year and a half on this. But need to continue that. So with that, unless you have something, Daniel, I'll turn it over to Grace and she's gonna walk us through this.
The only thing I had to add to that is we have the Health and Wellness Committee who needs to have a look at this and weigh in with some suggestions if they have any, because we have that joint effort now where between the commission, the advisory committee, and the Health and Wellness Committee, we've been dictating what the following year's CE would look like on recommendations for what the report shows or doesn't show. So I think this is perfect. And like you've already mentioned, we've come a long way just in the last year and a half of trying to do something with this report annually to impact our education and safety for the firefighters in Texas each year. So.
Okay, and that's a great point. And we'll make sure after today, we'll send whatever comes out of this discussion. It'll be forwarded to the commissioners, but we'll forward it to the Health and Wellness Committee. They have another meeting. I think it's the first week of April. I got to look at my calendar, but they've got one coming up as well. So I agree, and we'll make sure that happens.
Great. Okay, Grace, go ahead.
Okay, here I am. Good morning, everyone. I'm Grace Wilson. I'm the Public Information Manager here at TCFP, and I do the yearly injury report. So just for the benefit of those who might be listening on Facebook, I just want to say really quickly, you can get a copy of the meeting notebook. You can download it really quickly by going to our website and you go to the, I think it's News and Events tab, and then select calendar. And on the calendar, you'll see a little red button for today's meeting, Firefighter Advisory Committee on March 11th, and click on that, and then you can download the the report and you can follow along with us. But that being said, how do you guys want to do it? Do you want me to go through page by page, or do you want to just hit some highlights, or it doesn't matter to me? And then I can put it on the screen, or we can just, if y'all have copies, like whatever you want to do.
So let me ask the rest of the committee, have you all had an opportunity to read through the report and look at it and see where any flags would be or any questions? Because I'll be honest, just so y'all know, I've already got 6 questions or recommendations from the report. But I don't think that there is anything surprising about it. But I don't know, we could make you go through the presentation. I just hate to have you do that if everybody's already read the report and nobody's confused about anything. Does anybody need Grace to explain?
I mean, I'll just say, like, right off of the bat, I don't think there's anything super surprising in the report. We're pretty much on trend as how we have been in the years past. However, that being said, COVID-19 happened. So anytime you see any skewing of the numbers, you know, you have to keep that in mind, because that's probably what happened. There's just a ton of exposures.
Mr. Chair, that's the one question I had is since that's a COVID-19, there's any way to pull that out so we wouldn't have this skewed data in this one year moving forward also.
Well, but why would we do that?
I agree. I don't think we should take it out.
No, I'm not talking it out, but no, don't pull it out, but set it into a different category.
Well, there is in some of the exposure data there, you can tell that there is, like it'll say the exposure is COVID-19. There's actually 2 areas where it happens. There's a COVID-19 exposure that's already in the report, and also virus. So it seems pretty well delineated that way.
And Grace, I got a quick question. So the number for station duties, does that include COVID or is that separate? And I'm saying that because we got 598.
What page are you duties. On? What page are
on
you
page
on?
Page 18.
Okay, let me find that.
And the reason I was asking, because those 598 are also listed. There's serious 598 serious station duty. And I wasn't too sure if that was related to the COVID numbers or not, because that's kind of high.
It can be. Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, as you all know, if somebody is exposed on a medical call and then they come back to the station, then everybody else gets exposed. It's happened over and over and over, and it continues to happen.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to see, like they were mentioning about the, I guess, to divide or to separate those, because if we have issues other than COVID and the fire stations, and we have 598 serious injuries and related to something, I would like to see what that something may have been.
Well, I don't really know what to say about that right now. If you guys want me to do some kind of separation and all of these numbers, then please let me know. I mean, unless I hear it from you, I'm not going to, because it actually is part of the count. So
it's, you know, Grace, it's probably a question that's going to come up as we go forward. Mm-hmm. More than once. So however you decide to do it would be great, but you know, it's going to be a question that comes up as we move forward all the way into the legislature. So, I have a question. So this reporting is mandatory. I didn't see the percentage of departments that reported. I might've missed it. Is that included in there?
It's 72%.
Yeah. And so my question would be is, if it's mandatory to report and we only have 72% reporting, what are we doing, or how do we explain that?
Okay, I'm just writing this down. Hang on one second.
Jim, I think it's like 211 agencies that didn't report anything. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I agree with you too. It's a good point, and I knew this was going to come up, and I can't explain all of it. I'll just tell you that these numbers were taken in like January. So, and the reports for 2020 continue to come in. And in fact, just this week, like 2 days ago, I was going through the injury reports that were coming in, and some not small departments, like medium-sized departments, they're still submitting injury reports for 2019 and 2020. So why that happens, why it takes so long, I mean, I can only guess. The other thing is that the compliance officers, whenever they go and they do their inspections, I mean, that's definitely on their list. They check and see, like, are you guys submitting your injury reports? Do you need help with that? You know, I'll be honest, what I've heard is that sometimes it just gets put on the back burner. It's not a huge priority for fire departments. Like, if they're low or if they have personnel or staff who have retired or whatever, you know, it's just one of those things that falls through the cracks a lot. But why the rate is only 72%, I can't quite explain it.
I'll tell you, I think that's probably the lowest number we've had since we've been doing this. And we've been at this about 11 years now. That's the lowest. The first year we had 89%, and it's continued up into the 90s every year. So it surprised me to see the 72, but hearing what Grace is saying about they're still coming in, we're going to have to go back and gather those and capture it and get it in here before we send this to the yeah. commission in April. So these numbers, again, this is a draft, but we'll probably see these numbers change a little bit.
Yeah, and we all will. The more reason, all the numbers I think it's will important go up.
To talk about how we want to set this up. If we want a standalone COVID exposure section, whatever. Obviously, it doesn't matter to me. We just, we need to know moving forward that we still got information coming in for
it. If you don't mind me interjecting just for a second. So I think maybe this would be a good time if we got educated a little bit on a couple of things. Because Chief Wisco, as you were just mentioning, I went all the way back to 2012 and we had 89% reporting. But in 2016, we had as much as 96% reporting. So yeah, 72 is by far the lowest. But I guess the question I ask is, I've seen those numbers in the reports, and I have most of the last 11 years injury reports. And looking back through them, first of all, the number of agencies that are required to report, that changes every year. That number changes every year. And I'm not sure I understand how and why. I know that some new fire departments or ESDs are created from time to time, but it also appears that sometimes they go away, and I guess that confuses me. For example, like in 2016, there were 575 agencies that were required to report. 553 did report, but the following year, only 560 were required to report. And one of my recommendations or one of my questions to ask y'all, without putting undue work on staff or especially Grace, is I'm aware that volunteer departments, some voluntarily share the information and some don't. And I would almost ask if there's a way that those numbers could be omitted from this report, because there's no way to guarantee whatever departments reported this year voluntarily may all decide next year not to report. And there's nothing we can do to enforce that, but that would skew our numbers. It wouldn't give us a good, clear view. So I guess the regulated agencies, here's my first question to ask y'all staff. The regulated agencies, those numbers change from year to year. Can you help me just understand why they go down? Why those numbers go down? It may be something simple. I just don't understand.
So, Daniel, I think there's a couple of things we need to point out and everybody needs to remember. The only part of this that is mandatory is that we assemble this report and send it to the state fire marshal's office, period. There's no mandate for a department to report or not report. We have encouraged it. We have encouraged it heavily as we've continued through this. I remember fondly a huge debate about have to go in and put in zero injuries for a month and all that. There is no requirement by rule that you have to report your injuries. It is encouraged. So I think that we're seeing a number of 72. Last year was one hell of a year for everybody, and it's probably just been overlooked. And you've probably got a lot of departments that just didn't have any. They're small departments that didn't have any injuries. They didn't think to report their exposures. And I think what we're seeing now, we're getting some stuff in now because the compliance officers are once again out there hammering these guys when they're doing their inspections, reminding them to put it in. And it's probably a little light bulb that pops on for these guys. Oh man, I forgot. We started this in 2010. There's been a lot of turnover in fire department administrations in 11 years. And so some of them had it embedded in their memory banks. The newer guys probably don't even know it exists. I mean, and that goes back to the whole thing about the average Texas firefighter doesn't even know we're all here and what we're doing today. So it's an education thing. I think our compliance guys do a hell of a job trying to educate these departments. But I think what we're seeing here is a culmination of new people in leadership positions, and 2020 just kicked everybody's butt. I can't think of a better explanation, because we're seeing numbers come in now, and it's already March of 21. So that tells me there's some people playing catch up right now.
I guess the question I'm really trying to understand on my part. So on page 12, under the abstract, down towards the bottom, it says 545 of the 756 regulated departments used the injury reporting system. I guess the first question I'm trying to understand is 756 is the number of regulated departments.
Right.
2-3 years ago, that number was 560. So I guess the question to ask is, so would I be making the assumption that there's 200 more agencies that we regulate now that didn't exist 3 years ago, and now we regulate them? But looking back over the years in this report, sometimes that number goes down. So if 756 is the number of regulated departments, if next year that number is 740, why would that be? How does that? I'm not saying something's wrong. I'm just trying to understand.
No, so every year you end up with ESDs that convert to career departments and become regulated by us. Also, it doesn't happen often, but every year we will see some departments who voluntarily fall under regulation. They get popped for something. And they say, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. So that number, it's going to gradually go up every year because we're gaining more and more regulated departments. But I don't think that number is ever going to be steady across the board, because you lose a couple that don't want to comply anymore and they don't have to, but you gain a lot that transition from being all volunteer to having career staff. We had two departments in the last 6 months that thought they wanted to be regulated and then went back, you know, or they hired a fire chief and then decided they didn't want to jump through all the head of department hoops. So they bailed out. So, I mean, there's a lot that happens every day. I mean, it's really not stagnant whatsoever.
Well, that's what I was trying to understand, because it shows in 2012 there were 619 regulated departments, but by 2017, 5 years later, that number was down to 560. And I know the Dallas Fire Department didn't go out of business, or the Killeen Fire Department didn't go out of business. So I guess the question is, once again, that's the volunteer departments that are volunteering to report 1 year, and then maybe 5 years later they've gone away. And I'm not questioning it for any other reason other than to understand it. I'm good with it. I just needed to know why that number changes from year to year.
Okay. Hey, I've got Cliff Grant on the line. I'm putting him on speaker. He wants to say something to you. So let's see how this works out. Go ahead, Cliff.
I don't hear him.
Right now, Cliff. Hey, can you hear me? Nope, it's not working.
Yeah.
Every time that we have an apartment comes up, regulated. They have to be put in the system and regulated. And they can go through their whole thing. So they may get captured as a regulated apartment. And then come back next year, they don't want to do it because they don't want to do all the stuff. So we lose numbers.
Okay.
And they don't want to because we have to be activated.
Okay.
The big conservation office comes from fire marshal's offices. We have fire marshal's offices that will be for you, a regulated department. And the two people that are their investigators and their inspectors will stay there, then leave, and then they'll have to become deactivated. They're not regulated. They don't have anybody. And then they'll all of a sudden hire somebody again that's TCFD certified and they have to be regulated.
Okay.
Fire marshal's offices are okay.
All right, got it. So, Daniel, what Cliff was trying to add is that, and some of it we already said, you see departments that opt in to be regulated, they get put in the system, that number shows up because they get entered as an entity that is regulated. And then that for some reason they decide they don't want to be. So then we have to go in and pull them out. The other big fluctuation comes in fire marshal's offices. So remember, we're not only regulating fire departments and training facilities, but we're regulating fire marshal's offices that have paid staff. And so you may have one or two fire marshals, and then for some reason that goes away or that becomes a responsibility of some other organization and they're not regulated anymore. So there's a huge fluctuation there as well. So he really was just confirming what I had explained to you already, but he did identify that fire marshal's offices are another area where we see a big fluctuation. So that's why that number changes so much.
Okay.
That could also answer some of the reason why we never hit 100%, because some of those fire marshal's offices probably never have any injuries. It's one or two people and it just nothing happens and they never report anything. So it's probably going to be very hard to ever hit that 100% mark. I think the year we hit 97 or 98 was probably pretty darn good. It's probably the best we'll ever do because it changes every year.
Okay. Well,
Hey, Daniel.
Yeah.
Can I go back on what Vince was talking about a minute ago? I think he hit on something, but I'm not sure we really caught it. If you look on page 17, under EMS, you see the tail of the tape there. I mean, you're looking at 2020 count. They've got it in 2372. In 2019, it was 776. But yet, when you look down at the total at the bottom, that looks like 25% up for the year when our EMS was actually extravagant. I mean, it was in the 200%. Range, 250% range. So I know what Jim's talking about and Daniel too, but I'm wondering if there is something that needs to be split out there to kind of give an idea of what was this and what was that instead of just a whole thing. Because when you look at that and you turn over to page 18 where Vince started, you look at 598 count, but all the other things that go along with it, the station duties and the EMS, those two categories went up with everything else staying pretty much status quo. But when you look at the totals at the bottom, then you see that overall it doubled. Well, that skews you in looking at that to not, you're just looking at station duties and EMS basically drove those numbers up. So I'm not trying to disagree with Daniel and Jim, but I'm wondering if we need something to kind of explain some of that stuff. Just
right.
A thought, because it's just basically laid out there. Unless you just know that's what was going on, there's nothing really shows the COVID effect.
And it may be something as simple as, and I totally understand what you're saying, Chief. But it may be as simple as making a line item on that says coworker contact or something like that along those lines, because it's not just COVID. In the years prior, that same station duty exposure could have been the flu or some other kind of meningitis, hepatitis, something else that we already track as a medical exposure that we could just make it as a coworker exposure or, rather than station duty.
It just seems like, I mean, you got from 2016, 17, 18, 19, and now 20, and now we're just accelerating. So, I mean, it would be good for the history books to be able to tell this is where we were at this juncture in our injury reports. I don't see how it can really cause any problem to the system, but it allows us to kind of know what took place in a pandemic.
Chief, on page 17.
Yep.
If you go back up to the top in that first paragraph there, Grace has the designation that COVID-19 pandemic is an explanation for a significant increase in the injuries and exposures.
Right. But it doesn't show what we felt like the exposure was to what.
So you'd like to see that broken down a little bit better?
I just think it would help us whenever we're coming through and whether we're trying to, I know from my side, trying to put numbers to things when I'm trying to look at why do we need this? Why do we need this? How did we get caught with our pants down at this juncture? How can we fulfill this later on? Because this is the whole, I mean, I need to go back and look at a couple of things myself on my injury reports. Because that's jog my memory back on some stuff that I need to go back and look at. So I don't know. I go along with whatever, but you know, I think Vince was, when he was bringing that up, was good. And then I think Jason was just, I'm just wondering if we could come to grips on an actual way of showing that. But like I say, I know that. I think you did a great job, Grace. I mean, I really appreciate all the hard work because that's a ton of work to put something together like that. So I do appreciate it. I'm just asking.
And then one of the reasons that I wanted to bring that up was because I understand that the COVID was going to drive the numbers up, but I just want to make sure that we don't miss something other than COVID and the stations that we need to take a look at. In other words, if people are the numbers of guys getting hit by a truck, if that's a station duty, we need to see if there's something that we're trending on that we need to keep an eye on. That's the reason why I brought those big numbers up.
And that's what I brought up at first was the exact same reason. I didn't want to not include it, but I think we need to define it out so that we have a better understanding of what's going on in that large increase of EMS and station duties.
Is it possible to break that off to like station contact or like something along those lines? Because I don't want to make it just COVID, because next year, if something else happens, the next virus comes around. And the year after that, we have to keep breaking down a line that may not be feasible to keep calling it just over one issue, but have it as a contact exposure from your coworkers. Because that's what it's being put there for, is getting sick from guys coming back on shift or being exposed that they don't realize that they're exposed to the coworker.
So Daniel, are you saying that it would be a good idea to add an exposure that says coworker contact, something like that? I'm not understanding.
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly. And that way, because for any kind of medical issue that could be considered something that could be transmitted at the station, could be identified and pulled out of that station duty, because Vince hit a spot on the head. Like if we're missing stuff because we don't realize we're running guys over at the fire stations or other simple things that we need to address that maybe we're missing on as fire departments, we need to identify it. So yeah, contact, like a station contact, coworker contact exposure. That way we can pull those medical issues from that and put it under that category.
Yeah. Any kind of exposure that you guys want to add, we can add. I mean, that's not a problem. I say that like I'm going to do it. It's not a problem for our IT people. You know, they can add whatever we need to add. But it sounds like what I'm hearing is that it would be helpful in the actual report, wherever the numbers are kind of crazy, to just acknowledge that this is from COVID or this isn't from COVID or something like that, just so people understand that actually we're kind of in the same ballpark as where we've always been, but it's really high right now because of COVID.
I think that's reasonable. That's a good idea.
Would just an asterisk at the bottom of each of these tables be sufficient? Or would we need to see another entire table created? Because that we're talking about more work on your part, how you present it or show it.
It's not a huge deal for me. It's just however you think you would prefer to see it. I mean, yeah, we could do asterisks, or if you rather have some kind of other table, we can add another table. I mean,
well, Grace, I would think a notation would be good because people are looking right at that table or at those numbers, and a notation right next to it or by it would give them some instant information.
Okay, I'm just writing it down so I remember to do all these things. No, and I think for posterity's sake, it'd probably be good because, you know, so many years from now, if somebody goes back and looks at the report for any reason, it'll be helpful.
Well, and you've got it broken out on page 34. I mean, you've got that COVID specifically broken out as an exposure on page 34, but.
Right.
I don't.
Right. So the information is there, but I guess we could make it a little bit easier for the person who's just flipping through and hasn't memorized every chart that's in the whole report.
Yeah, kind of where it's being recapped, I guess, is what you're saying, instead of specific details. Okay.
Okay, so let me, going all the way back, and you don't have to flip to look at it, but the first thing that's in this report is the mission. And the mission clearly states that the commission shall gather and evaluate the data on fire protection personnel injuries and develop recommendations for reducing injuries. So that's not ever been done in the past, and that's kind of what we've been able to accomplish in the last year, with an effort between the Health and Wellness Committee, this committee, as well as the commissioners. One of the first recommendations I almost want to make here today is this is perfect. We like it. I like it the way it is, unless somebody else has another comment about it. But I think we should make a resolution that from here forward, the report always looks the same. We use the same format. Because I know in 2017, 2018, you know, there was a change in the way you guys used the format to collect the data. And if you look back to the 2012 injury report or the 2015 injury report, it's laid out different than this one. So if you're trying to do any kind of research or any kind of comparative analysis, it's a challenge. So I would like to say, no matter, I predict within the next 10 years, you guys change to another platform again, if not once or twice, even more. So whatever that looks like, the report still will look like it still does today, the same format. In other words, the same type of graphs, the same order of presentation. Some things will no doubt be added, but I think we should make a formal request that the format stays the same. So anybody that tries to do any research in the future, or once again, an analysis of the information, it stays the same. So that would be my first recommendation. I would also, unless y'all can convince me otherwise, there's a part of me that would like to see the departments who are not regulated, who report this information, it not be put in this report. If they're not regulated and they're not required to report, and they report information, but there's no way to trend it because they're not required to report it next year, and maybe they didn't do it last year, but this year they sent it in, it's going to skew those numbers. So if they're a non-regulated department and they choose on their own volition to send that information to y'all, I think that should be in a separate report. Am I making sense on where I'm trying to go with that?
Yeah. You know what, Daniel? You're probably spot on there, because only the departments we regulate are the ones we have authority over. The recommendations, when they're made, can go out to everyone, but you know, I mean, collecting data continuously and constantly from regulated departments is really what we should be doing.
I don't think it hurts to have, like you said, a small little picture of what they're reporting, but I agree with you. Let's not skew the numbers. Let's be able to track what we're doing good, the policies that are, what our inspectors are going to look at when they come into these station visits, the information that we're putting out, and it gives us the ability to really see if that's working.
How hard is it for Grace and them to cull the stuff that is not regulated when they're getting this data in? Is that doable?
That's a really good question. From my perspective, it's not hard at all, because I don't do it. I have no idea. Well, I mean, I would just have to, I guess, speak with the IT manager and see, you know, and check with him. I really don't even have a clue.
Is there another system that is going to look at this data that we're not using? Is there any way we can forward that to them? Mike, that would be a question to you, where we can actually, if it comes into us, where it could be maybe not put into our system, but actually pushed to another system. Because I hate to see any data go to waste on any firefighter, whether that's regulated or unregulated. That we've got a firefighter out there getting hurt in a purpose, and we were doing something evidently, as Dad would always say, you know, caused. So you'd like to know what that cause is. But I'm just saying, I'd like to see that data not go to waste anyway.
And Daniel, question. So are you talking about just the ones that we officially regulate, or the ones that voluntarily regulate too?
I'm suggesting that be kept separate.
Oh, no. Okay. So I don't agree with that.
So the question is, we now have a health and wellness committee who's trying to steer the commission and trying to steer our committee, or at least have a voice to recognize trending. Because there's no way that we can follow our mission by making recommendations on reducing injuries if we don't have some sort of a metric system, a hardcore data to support that. So if ankle injuries at the fire station, non-emergency, went up this year, and we identified that as something that should be addressed through future training and education, we would be wasting our time if we were basing that decision off of the data saying ankle injuries went up significantly this year, but the real reason is because they didn't report it the last 5 years. Maybe it's on trend. Maybe where the injuries have actually gone down. So we're taking departments that are non-regulated who can throw information into this report and skew the report. So if they're not regulated, first of all, we're struggling to make sure we have the regulated departments giving us the right information, which I'll come back to this in a second. I clearly don't think that's happening for whatever reason. But I don't think volunteer departments, when they report this, should skew the report. I think there should be a separate report that can, the information's there, just break it out between, are you regulated or not regulated?
But Daniel, we're trying to bring and encourage people to become regulated. So whether they voluntarily regulate or they're officially regulated, they're still regulated. And they're still part of our, for lack of a better term, system.
So I just don't agree with taking people out like that. If they're regulated, they're regulated, regardless of whether that's voluntary or by statute. They're regulated. And we should not discount those people. I just don't agree with that.
Well,
it's not going to skew our numbers any more than people not reporting for whatever reason, which I don't understand that either. But if you're regulated, you're regulated. And you're following our rules, then we should include everything that you submit to us into that report.
Well, I think what we end up with at the end of the day is a much more detailed report that has a whole lot more information that we don't do anything with, because it doesn't show us anything, doesn't tell us anything. That's the whole intent of this report, is that we look at what the NFPA numbers are, the national numbers. We look at what we've done from year to year. That's why we do comparative analysis even within this report. But if we're changing the reporting, then it doesn't give us enough information to make recommendations on reducing injuries. We can argue it. I can argue any one of those. If you show me that the numbers went up, I'll just tell you it's because more people reported. That the numbers didn't go up. It's just that more people reported. We have no control over that. If you go back to 2017, just basically 3 years ago, there were 560 departments that reported. Well, this year, that number's 756. That's 200 more departments. I don't know if they're departments the size of Houston. I don't know if they're departments of, with one member. We have no idea, none whatsoever. The report's not broken out in that kind of detail, and it shouldn't be. So I question how we do this report to give a committee who's now willing to look at the report and be able to make, we're charged with making recommendations for reducing injuries based on this report. I would like it to be as accurate as possible in order to do that. That's just my opinion. I'm just one vote. But if y'all have a decision to just leave it as it is, I think we'll just keep doing the same thing as it is for the last 11 years. For the last 11 years that we've been doing this, this past year is the only year that anybody's made recommendations on reducing injuries. The other 10 years, it didn't even happen.
Can I inject something here, Dave? Sure. But two things I feel like we need to make sure everybody's clear on. One, you cannot report an injury in FIDO if you do not have a regulated entity number. If you don't have an FDID, you're not going to be able to get in the system to report it. So I say that to say that the Billy Bob Volunteer Fire Department can't just arbitrarily come into our system and report an injury if they're not recognized by us as a regulated entity. The second part is important to note, that we can't differentiate between a department that is voluntarily regulated, in other words, they said we want to be regulated by the commission, versus a department that has to be regulated by us. So I can't tell you the difference between the Dallas Fire Department and the Billy Bob Volunteer Fire Department. They all have a FDID number. If they have that number, they're regulated by us. So it would be very difficult on our end to separate anything out. But at the same time, if they're not regulated by us for whatever reason, they're not able to get into FIDO and report an injury.
Okay, that answers my question. And so I'll retract my comments.
It's important to realize that, again, and I know I've said this, but I want to say it again. Regulated entities is everything. Those are fire departments. Those are fire marshals' offices. Those are training facilities. And every year we pick up, I wouldn't even venture to say what the number is, but we pick up new training facilities. I mean, this online training thing is off and running, and we get a new company every year, more than one. So that number of regulated entities is probably always going to fluctuate. And I don't think there's anything we can do to streamline that or to stabilize that. It's just the way it is.
Okay. So one of my other questions to ask, or at least share with the committee. So I'm on it right now. I went to the TDI's website for the State Fire Marshal's Office, because we're required to send this report to the State Fire Marshal every year. And if you go and you play through their reporting system to find out where the taxpayers' information is, and you look up statistical data, and you go down to, and I'm not telling anybody to go do this right now, but you can go to their website and look at Fire in Texas annual reports. And they haven't published one in 5 years. The only ones that are on here are 2016, 2015, and 2014. And if you go to those reports, within that report, there is a breakdown by firefighter injuries. And I would have made the assumption that the only reason they have that information is that's coming out of our report that gets sent to the State Fire Marshal's Office. But looking at 2016, 2015, and 2014, and then looking at our reports for those very same years, the numbers are unbelievably different. And not where it's higher, it's where it's lower. In other words, we're showing numbers in 2016 of like 2,300 injuries involving firefighters. But if you go to the State Fire Marshal's report, that number is as low as, hold on 1 second, I have it here, 326. So something's missing.
So
there's not a connection between what we're sending to the fire marshal and what they're showing in their report.
Right. So let me add to that. I noticed that in the first month that I was here, and really started looking at that, all our reporting requirements, because I'm trying to learn this side of the house still. But I talked to the State Fire Marshal about that issue. I'm not going to say everything that he said, but he was alarmed, and since has assured me that he has corrected the fact that these reports were not being posted. The other thing that we're going to try to coordinate is to make sure that the person reading and posting this report understands the numbers that are important, because I saw the same thing you saw, and it came down to an interpretation by one individual who was reporting it. And what it appears to me is that there was a change there for some reason, and the new individual charged with posting this information didn't even know they were supposed to be doing it. So the State Fire Marshal's Office is working to correct that, and we're going to work together with them, hopefully a lot closer, to make sure that the numbers that get posted this time for this year's report are a lot closer to being accurate. So it's out of our purview, but I discovered it when I started really trying to follow the paper trail here and questioned why, one, it wasn't there, and two, the numbers were so obscure, and I think we figured out why. So we're going to work better between the two agencies to try to improve that.
Okay, and I understand that that's probably out of the scope of our responsibility, but I just wanted to at least address that. And I don't know if it's worth sending it on to the commissioners, so maybe they can help move that
forward. It's certainly going to be discussed when we get into this. It's going to be pointed out, because it was a glaring problem to me. I sat here one day and started looking. I read the law, and then I started following the trail, and I saw the same thing you did. It went 5 years with nothing. And you know, my concern to the State Fire Marshal was, listen, we bust our tail. We got staff that works all year long to put this together. We're obligated to send it to you by law. You're not doing anything with it.
Well, and that,
I apologize, but that was news to him too. So they're trying to fix their internal issues as well.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm going with this. Grace, all the work that you put in and the rest of the commission to gather all this information, you know, for the last 5 years, the only requirement we've had is to send it to the State Fire Marshal's Office. They haven't done a thing with it. It's at least not on their website. I'm assuming it's in a file cabinet somewhere in their office. But, you know, so that doesn't help anybody to identify trending concerns or using any kind of metrics to better the fire service or our training process. And then if you go back even before that, you also realize that the data was very convoluted, to say the least. So back to what we're doing, and I know, Deb, I can see you like writing. So I've made a couple of recommendations. I think you have maybe already written down for this report that I'm at least sharing with y'all. The other thing I'd like to ask is, and this is a question for Grace. So the station activities or other non-duty activities, other on-duty activities.
Are you looking at the page with where it compares us with NFPA?
No, I'm actually looking at several pages because okay. That was, let's go with page 14. And that is where it is comparing us with NFPA. And it looks in, you have it broken down by fire ground, non-fire, and other on duty. And the other on duty, I guess my question is, that's pretty vague, right? I mean, that I think somebody's checking a box and they just don't know what to check and they just throw it in that category. But.
Okay, I get what you're saying, at least in this context, for this graph where we're comparing with NFPA. Other on duty, non-fire, those categories are coming from NFPA, from their report. And we, if you look at the top of that page, what page is that? Page 14, those three bullet points, it kind of describes how we're fitting our data into their labels.
Yeah, and that part I got. I guess the question, okay. here would be my question that I'm almost certain that the Health and Wellness Committee will ask. So we're at 32% for other on-duty injuries, where NFPA is 17%. So we're almost, you're twice as likely in Texas to get injured doing other on-duty stuff.
Right.
And that includes fire prevention, station duties, and wellness and fitness. If 90% of those injuries were from wellness and fitness, or 90% of them were doing fire prevention activities, that would tell us something. We could do something about that. Whereas in other words, if the recommendation is ultimately from the Health and Wellness Committee that we address other on-duty injuries and we try to reduce those. And that's all we say. It really doesn't give anybody anything to work with. If we could identify what the station duties were, or if it specifically was fire prevention, or if it specifically was wellness and fitness, then we would have a clearer definition of what that is. So I guess the question would to ask is, when that information gets submitted to you, and I don't even know how that works, I don't know what that report looks like. I've filled out a lot of injury reports in my life, and your eyes go crossed after 5 minutes of working with those reports, and you're just trying to find the easiest way to expedite checking boxes. But when you check a box, you don't realize you've now skewed a report somewhere down the road. Is there a way maybe it's already broken down, but I guess the question is there any way to break that down or identify that? In other words, the question I'm asking is, other on-duty injury, is there anything that falls in that category that maybe fire prevention is not a problem, but wellness and fitness is? How would we do that?
Well, if you wanted to, we could, I think it'd be pretty easy to do. To break it out and say, you know, out of the 1,206 other on-duty injuries, you know, X many were from fire prevention, Y many were from station duties, and Z many were from wellness fitness. I mean, that's not hard to do at all.
Grace, I think on page 22, it kind of breaks it down. And on page 22, I was looking at it, and the question I had was 789 injuries of moving about a station. It's just, that's just one of those numbers. I don't know. I'm harping on those non-fire activities, but on page 22, it kind of breaks it down, which I think what Chief Deere is asking.
Yeah. So see, that's a glaring issue. I mean, we've had more people injured moving around the fire station than we have in the last 4 years combined.
Right. Well, but that's probably COVID exposures. I mean, just a wild guess, but I would be willing to bet that the bulk of that is just because, you know, somebody came down with COVID at the station, and so they were just walking around. They don't know how they got exposed. They were just near this person. I mean, because I see there were so many exposure reports like that coming in, just like week after week after week, and they're still coming in. You know, all of a sudden, one regulated entity will submit like 20 reports because every guy got exposed.
Well, one thing on that same table on page 22 that should be noted is mounting and dismounting of apparatus. We've been trending down now for 5 years, and it's the most significant downward turn this year. So we're doing something right at the fire station because we're getting less people hurt getting on and off the fire apparatus. So that's something that should be flagged as something that we're doing that's positive. SOPs or just reporting. But once again, back up above there, moving about the station. So is the reporting, if five people sit down to fill out a COVID exposure, it seems like they all should be checking the same boxes. So all the information falls into whether it's, I shouldn't be reporting it as an exposure, and the Crum Fire Department shouldn't be reporting that as moving about the fire station. Those are different. So moving about the fire station, if it's COVID or you slip and fell on a wet floor, that's all the same. And I don't see it that way personally. So once again, is there a way to flag that out of there? That was one of the other reasons why maybe the question of could we separate COVID out so it doesn't skew specific numbers like that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it would be a good idea to do that.
Daniel, you know, the reason that getting on and off the fire truck number's gone down, most departments are so busy, they never get off the truck. So they're just there.
Also, everybody just remember that this is a draft. These aren't the final numbers. They're all going to go up.
Right. And that I understand, don't have a problem with.
Yeah, Grace, I think just like we talked about earlier, I think just separating station duties to coworker contact or something like that, coworker exposure, would solve a lot of this those issues under the station duties line.
So, Deb, if you're writing, I think that's one of our suggestions, is that we break down station duties so that it's more identifiable to a specific cause that we can attribute that to.
Daniel, I think you've hit on De'Aire. I think you've hit on something. I mean, how it works and how they have to get with IT to get that built into the system, I have no clue, but I think that something needs to be set up for that.
And if you want to do that, that's fine, and we don't have to come up with the exact details today, but please be thinking about if you want them to break down station duties into different things, like we have to tell them what those things are. So you know what I mean? So just keep that in mind.
But also, aren't we blending this across the whole list? I mean, Grace, can COVID be actually, could it actually have been put in several of these line items? Or is it just one or two that it could be in? So that, I think that's where I'm getting, there's been a couple where we've got some in this, we've got some in that. As far as COVID goes, is there something in those in the line that we're looking at to where we can separate those? Because then you start blending that stuff together, then what is COVID and what's not?
Yeah.
Just a thought.
I'll tell you what. I mean, wherever the numbers are kind of crazy, I would check that. I mean, because that would be what I would think, that the reason that it's skewed or that it's higher than normal is because of COVID. So, I mean, wherever I saw something that was kind of a little bit crazy, I mean, that's what I would check for.
Okay. Thank you.
So
I got one thing that I'd like to, one recommendation. First, Grace, this looks amazing. You and the staff have done an amazing job of taking our recommendations over the year to really change stuff and making certain things that we believe that were very important really pop out on that page to kind of bring that attention to it. And so as a kind of a simple thing, on page 38 on the cancer stuff, you did a great job of putting that little reminder right there, where it just breaks down and it doesn't have any big numbers in there or statutes or legislation. It's as simple as any injuries to fire protection personnel that are reported to Workers' Comp Commission must be reported to the TCFP, and that includes cancer. But that statement alone would really, I think, would really suit us well on getting people to realize of why this report, if they don't make it all the way back to page 38, if that was done up there close to page 11, where it talks about our mission and it talks about the executive summary, to have that statement kind of pop out on that page, where if you report something to workers' comp over an injury to firefighters, it needs to be in this report. And so I think that right there, it does great on page 38 because it reminds people about the cancer stuff when they get to it, but it would really suit well at the page 3 of this whole thing, where it really shows why we have this, rather than talking about the legislation and the detail of that simple statement right there may just trigger that new fire chief who's brand new in here that maybe doesn't understand why he's reporting this stuff or what that legislation means. But it says, hey, you got to do it. So that's my recommendation on that. Besides that, Grace, heck of a job. I mean, you did a great job. You and staff did amazing. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, easy enough to put a box on page 11 with the same information. Consider it done. What else you guys got?
So, Grace and Mike, just to clarify, regulated departments have to report injuries to us, correct?
No, not by the design of the law. The only thing that's mandatory is that we compile this and send it to the State Fire Marshal's Office.
Okay, so that we have notations in there that they must report things, and then we have notations in there that they're encouraged to report things. So if the interpretation is fire departments do not have to report injuries to us, I'm terribly confused.
And rightfully so, but this has been a debate since we started doing this, and the effort, I believe, has always been to encourage departments to report it, but they're not mandated. I mean, that goes back to that whole debate, and you know, I dug my heels in just because back then about having to report zero injuries for the month, and I feel like that was ridiculous. But that was the effort of the agency at the time to try to make everybody submit something every month. But the law does not mandate it. We have tried to encourage it over the years.
So if the legislature wants us to collect injury data for the betterment of the fire service, then injury reporting for regulated departments should be mandatory. And that should be one of our recommendations. In order to fulfill our mission to the legislature in this particular instance, then one of our recommendations should be that injury reporting by statute should be mandatory.
I don't disagree with you, but I don't think the legislators read this, so they're never going to see that. You got till Friday to file a bill for this session. And that's how that's going to have to happen. We can't do that.
We can't make that recommendation.
You can make the recommendation, but I think it's pointless. I think the fire service of Texas gets it. If we want the legislature to change the law, somebody's going to have to file a bill and ask them to champion that for us.
So I would tell you my opinion on this, especially now with the cancer reporting and everything that's been going on, that one way or another, this should be mandatory. It should not be voluntary for us to fulfill our mission. So
I agree with you. So I think
from the committee side, if I need to make a motion, I'll do it. We should recommend that this reporting be made mandatory for all regulated departments.
Yeah. Well, it's already written down. We're putting it in there as a recommendation. I'm just letting you know that that's what it is. And they'll okay. either read it or they won't. They'll either do it or they won't. If you want to make that change, it has to be done legislatively.
We could do that change in the rules if we wanted to.
The statute trumps the rules. We get our authority to make rules from the statute.
Chief Wisco, I got a quick question. To clarify that, under 419, if we have a workplace injury and we file workers' comp, then at that point in time, we are required by mandate to notify the commission, correct?
That is what it says. Yeah, if it's a reportable injury to workers' comp, then it should be reported to us. Yes.
Right.
So we're supposed to include that in this report.
Correct. So that is requirement by even the regulated entities here that fall under us. If you file workers' comp for any reportable injury, or if a guy comes and says, "Hey, I got injured. I want to do workers' comp," regardless if it's an accepted claim, a denied claim, it does not matter. It has to be reported to us, correct?
Well, I believe what it says is we have to work with workers' comp, and the challenge has always been that they refuse to work with us. Okay. So we're having to just put this together the best we can because they refuse to share any information with us. So the requirement is that those injuries that are reportable to them have to be in this report. Workers' comp is not sharing that information with us. There's nothing that says the fire department has to tell us. They only have to tell workers' comp. And workers' comp has always refused to work with us. I know that was the problem when Gary Warren was here and it continued under Tim Rutland, that they made it very clear they're not going to share that information because they don't have to.
Chief, in regards to the reporting, so the cancer reporting, so a department is reporting the individual's cancer at the point that the workman's comp deems it as occupational cancer, or do you see them reporting it as soon as that firefighter makes a claim towards workman's comp? Is there a period that is not being reported until he's being diagnosed as workman's comp occupational cancer?
I think that what the departments report to us is the ones that have been reported as occupational. But I think there are thousands the firefighters, there's probably a few on this meeting right now, have had some type of cancer and it never got reported even to their fire department. So and there's no requirement for an individual to report that either. You got so many guys that are scared to report an injury because they don't want to have any repercussions from that. So they just keep it to themselves. The short answer is, I don't know, but from what we see is that the departments that are reporting, they only tell us about cancer cases that have been reported as work-related or job-related exposure.
Okay, thank you, Chief.
All right. Grace, if you look at page 21, just the second. It's types of injuries.
Okay, types of injuries.
You got it?
Yep, I've got it.
Is there a way, and maybe it's already, and I'm not seeing it in this report. My question would be, is there a way to break those types of injuries down by activity?
Give me an example.
Well, you take skeletal with 1,422 is the number from 2019. So how many of those were fire suppression? How many of those were during training? How many of those were during fitness and wellness?
Okay, yeah. I think that we have charts on injuries by activity in this report. Okay. Are you talking about something different?
Well, so you have a chart that shows what percentage of overall injuries are from each of those categories, but not when it comes to the type of injury. So once again, if I was asked the question, like 1,422 skeletal injuries, how many of those were in training?
Okay, so you want it broken down even further.
I'm just wondering if that would help the Health and Wellness Committee to identify anything. Where we can make a better recommendation for training or future.
I mean, if they want that information, I'm sure that we could break it down for them.
Okay.
But do you want it in the report? That's a different question. Like, well, how deep do we want to go?
So I'm the only one asking that right now, unless everybody else agrees with me. But I may be asking you to do something that take you 50 hours to do, and I'm not wanting to do that. If it's something that with a couple of keystrokes and 20 minutes that could be produced, then I think that would be beneficial. I think it would help paint a clearer picture for everybody that's going to read this report. But let me know, because that makes a decision on my part which way I'd go with that.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, like, I just get the information from IT. They have to do like all of the extracting, you know, from the injury reporting application in FIDO. So for me, just putting new charts and stuff together, it's not that big of a deal. I don't really know what they go through because I'm not a programmer. But if you want me to maybe break down the skeletal injuries by activity, I'm sure we could do that. And it wouldn't be a big deal. If there's anything else you want broken down, yeah, let's see if we can do it. I mean, we can always try.
Okay. Well, then that would be one of my recommendations.
But you just mean the skeletal injuries?
No, that whole list of types of injuries. So same thing with burns. So 92 burns. I guess there's a part of me to be curious of how many of those burns were station activities. Maybe somebody got burned cooking. I mean, that would help clarify those numbers for us.
Okay, let me write some of this down. Let's see. Let me look at something. So, okay. So then on page 17, I just was wondering what injury data we already had with injuries and exposures by activity. So if we broke down skeletal injuries, it would probably be broken down in these categories of activity.
And that would be fine. Mm-hmm.
But then you're thinking of also doing all of the other types of injuries, right? From that, let's just say from that one table, table 8, on whatever that other page was, where it listed skeletal and all those other things. So you want each of those broken down by these activities?
Yeah, on page 17. Okay. Yeah, it doesn't need to be any more complicated than that.
Okay, yeah. Let's give it a try.
Okay. And then the last thing I have to share with y'all is just to ask y'all's opinion. So once again, station duties accounted for 640 injuries. And it's up, it's been trending up, but there could be a lot of reasons for that, but it's still a significant number. But take that number 640, and if you all turn all the way back to page 40, where it talks about injuries attributed to SOPs, it shows that there's only two of those 640 injuries that could be attributed to SOPs. And that's at a station activity. So my recommendation to the Health and Wellness Committee is perhaps departments need to revisit their SOPs regarding station duty and safety. That would give somebody something to specifically work on for next year. Because if you're telling me 640 people, 630 out of 640 people are getting injured and nobody's violating an SOP, then we should be asking how they're getting hurt, but it shouldn't just be the cost of doing business. I think there's a chance that SOPs are either being violated or perhaps they just don't have an SOP in place to address things that are causing this injury. That was one of the reasons why I would like to see station duties clarified in some form or fashion, so that there would be, you know, is it mopping the floor? Is it cleaning toilets? Is it taking a shower? Is it cooking? Is it walking across the floor? What,
Daniel, where that's talking about SOPs, I think that comes from the SOPs that we mandate departments to have. And that's why that number's so low, because there's only a handful that we require they have. I hear what you're saying, but we can't require a department to have SOPs outside of the ones we can mandate. So, and that came from 382 back in 2001.
But at the top of page 40, you know, it talks about injuries being reported by members who failed to follow the department's SOP. And you don't make that determination, and we don't. Obviously, the department makes that determination, and then they check that box and submit that report.
And that's what I'm saying. They're basing that on if it is a commission required SOP or not. If it's not a commission required SOP, they're probably not going to check that box.
Okay, so you don't think that there's any validity to look at with department, just to put it back as a training?
I think there is. My point was just to clarify that number's so low because that it's based on the SOPs we require them to have. It's not just the broad SOP concept. It's just the ones we require. Those are limited to PPE, SCBA, emergency operations, things of that nature. So that's probably why that number is so small, if you base it on the subjectivity of that requirement. But I do agree that the recommendation they need to visit their SOPs or establish SOPs is relevant. I just think that I'm trying to clarify why that number is so small. It's just based on what we require.
Yeah, and I understand that. And I'm not suggesting that we start regulating that or asking for that or being even involved in any form or fashion. I think just from an educational and training perspective from the Health and Wellness Committee as something to push to the fire departments is nothing more than, hey, station duties are a significant cause of injuries to firefighters. Y'all should be revisiting your SOPs to see if there's anything your department can do to reduce station duty injuries from an educational perspective. And that's it.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I agree, probably most departments, it's like, we're fine. We don't even need to do that. But there may be a department somewhere out there that says, hey, let's look at our own data. Yeah, we had six people injured last year falling in the shower. So maybe we need to go back and have an SOP or at least revisit it somehow. And that would be an educational recommendation maybe from the Health and Wellness Committee to take something to move forward.
I agree. And you know, the other problem with station duties is so broad. I mean, you're all seeing a fatality, a line of duty death under station duties. I could be wrong, but I believe that was out of one of our big cities where the individual was mowing the grass and he was found unresponsive in the backyard behind the station while he was out mowing the grass. And that's a broad category to capture that, you know. So, there need to be probably better SOPs. But now, are we selling them? They need an SOP for mowing the grass. I don't think we want to go there either. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no SOP that would ever address that. There's nothing that could ever be done to revisit that. That would be somewhere else in the process. But
I
think just trying to take this report and move forward from an educational perspective to reduce injuries and death in the Texas Fire Service, that may be something we can kind of throw to the fire department.
I agree. And I want to point out specifically where me and Jim were talking earlier. Don't forget that we have a huge opportunity right now. The agency is under sunset review. So there's a piece of legislation right now, actually two, a Senate bill and a House bill, that pretty much opens everything up to do with the commission. So that is an opportunity for somebody to try to muscle some changes in this injury reporting piece. And just so you all know, it's Senate Bill 709 and it's House Bill 1845. So Senate Bill 709, House Bill 1845, that deals specifically with the sunset review of the agency, extending the agency. And by the end of the day, just like any other bill, it could encompass a whole lot. So that there's an opportunity there right now to get some changes. That has to come from the interest groups. That cannot come from here. I can't walk over there and tell them to change that. You all or anybody watching this or anybody with an interest in the fire service could certainly engage in a conversation about that. So I just wanted to clarify that. We've got a window here. If we want to make some things change in this injury reporting, I think you've got an avenue to do it right now.
Hey, Grace, I have a quick question. Like so many departments right now, but like a few of them that come to mind, like Lubbock and Irving, that have done a great job of bringing awareness to working on roadways. And there's not a day you can turn on the news and you don't see a fire apparatus being hit or a firefighter being clipped on these roadways. Is there a way to identify that in our report of actual roadway injuries? Because I see that we have like returning to the station, responding to the scene. But is there any way to outline those injuries I come across, that maybe a blocking engine got hit and a guy was injured with because of debris from that, or was he hit by a car? And that way we can see where we start addressing those things in-house. Like, we're starting to see that and it really brings light about it, just like so many other things that this really sheds light on. Do we have that in here that we can do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think there's a specific category of injury that has to do with like you got injured on a roadway, but that might be a good thing that we could add. At this point, I'm pretty sure the only way that we could tell is just to go in and like read the notes or the description that people typed in there.
Yeah, if we could do something like that where that's identified, because that would also help with these special interest groups pushing certain legislation and stuff like that on around roadway injuries and the vehicles that are passing us at a high rate of speed at all times, and being able to identify this is so many firefighters were injured because of inability to drive by others.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I've got one last thing. Gracie, once again, you and your staff did an awesome job on this reporting here. We appreciate everything y'all are doing. I know we had mentioned it before, but I don't see anywhere on the report, and I don't know if it's something that needs to be considered, but do we track suicides? And I don't see anything on here that tracks that. And I think in regards to mental health and mental awareness within our fire service, I would like to start tracking some of that. And I don't know if the reporting is where it needs to be done, but I think we have an issue going on in our fire service that we need to truly capture if we're experiencing the increase in those type of or the event of suicide.
Yeah, there's no suicide tracking per se. Obviously, we track fatalities. I've never seen a suicide come in, something that, said it was a suicide. So I'm not sure where the disconnect is there.
I think
the one challenge there is that, again, it has to be a reportable workers' comp claim. So it would almost be that the suicide would have to occur while they're on duty or in the station. I think, you know, we only know of one or two of those in the last 5 years. They happen, unfortunately, but most suicides don't happen on duty or in the firehouse. So that would probably be difficult to track because there's no reporting mechanism for that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, what else? Last year, when we looked at the report, one of the recommendations that we had, and I don't want to open up another can of worms here, but we had made a recommendation that cancer reporting from retirees and individual certificates be encouraged, but we didn't clearly lay out how that would actually happen or how that would look or how that would be regulated or who would collect it. I think that's still a point of concern. I'm just reminding everybody, we put it in last year's report and nothing's been done with it since. There's still obviously a hole in the process for tracking retiree cancer and individual certificates. So I guess what I really ask this committee is to be thinking about that. It was a great suggestion last year, but I really don't want to make it a suggestion this year because it was already in last year's, but nothing ever actually came of it. In fact, I don't think the commission even forwarded that on, because I'm looking at the recommendations officially that came into the report and it ended up not being in there. So I think it's something that this committee and maybe the Health and Wellness Committee should be looking at to try to find out what avenues would there be to track that.
Oh, so Daniel, just because they didn't look at it last year or didn't forward it, there's no reason we should not do it again this year. I don't believe that for a second. And put some emphasis on it or whatever you want to do, but we have presumptive cancer legislation. The incidence of actually cancer being paid for by workman's comp is increased dramatically because of the recognition on the other side of occupational cancer. I definitely think we should put that forward again. Word it differently or whatever you want to do, but the idea that cancer is still on the rise for our guys it's still prevalent. I think it's a great idea to push it forward again. I certainly don't want to give up on that.
Well, I'm not suggesting we give up on it. I'm fine with, if y'all wish to make that recommendation, I have no problem with it whatsoever. I think what I have heartburn with is moving something forward that I know a year from now, we're going to look at it and nothing will have happened. Because there's no, how do you regulate a retiree? How do you force a retiree to even report it? How do you force an individual certificate holder who's no longer with a department or between departments? How does that happen? I think the idea is fabulous. I think it's a great idea, but who's going to ever figure out how to connect the dots to make it beneficial to anybody?
Well, we have to have a starting point, Daniel. I'm glad you're bringing this back up because I was kind of pushing this thing last year and never heard anything back. But we've got a wellness committee. It would be nice for us to start out with just a small questionnaire. And I would be glad to go to my retirees, the guys that I retired with, because I know I've lost several guys to cancer over the years, and to try to bring something to them through you, of course. And if you could give me like a five, six, seven question, up to 10 question questionnaire, I'll do an experiment with it and see what transpires.
Well, who do they report it to?
Well, the problem is going to be that this is only a history lesson. This is not going to be anything other than a history lesson. As far as we've got these guys that've been in the mix for years, and you know as well as I do, the guys like us that started out maybe without an air pack, went to transfer to an air pack, and then all those things that have happened. So, I mean, I think the history is going to be good. Not that we can do anything for workman's comp, but we can also do things for the guys for future. I mean, that's what this is all about anyway. This is for the future guys. You can't do anything for me now. I've already done the damage, but I can do something for the guys out there that are doing the job for the next 25 years.
And I get that, and I don't disagree with that at all. My department lost 4 firefighters to cancer in 4 days about a month ago. But they were all retirees. So who and what should be done? Who would document it? How would they document it? And who's collecting that information? Where would that go? And how do we regulate?
We have to start with the training officers. I think the training officer would be with the wellness portion and showing the history.
What agency?
The training officer of the fire department. Each fire department represented to TCFP.
I agree with you on this for sure. I think we need to highlight this stuff because our guys are being exposed over the years and we're getting cancer, and that's what's killing us when we get off the job. And so is it possible, and I have no idea, and this is something that maybe Wisco or Grace can share with us, but that FIDO number that you have for your TCFP, when we can encourage users to report their own things, is it possible to have a tab where somebody can log into FIDO and report cancer themselves? If that was a retiree guy, rather than place that emphasis on a department, an individual department that's required to keep up with every single retiree, it's not going to be possible, especially in a lot of these departments. But he can, that individual who has a FIDO, when he gets diagnosed with cancer, he can log on to FIDO and report a cancer. And we can have that tab in there. That way we can start building that database on the cancers that our guys are coming across with at any time that they served as a firefighter. And so I don't know if that's possible, but maybe that emphasis has to fall back on the individual for now until we develop something.
See, but Daniel, you hit on
individual to report it. It'd be great. Go ahead.
See, Daniel, you hit on something right there. You just said, when I retire. I mean, the guys that are retiring most of the time are the guys that are coming, not all the time, but a lot of the guys are coming down with it at that point. So to me, that's a history for the guys, the young guys. What were these old guys doing? How did they get this? We know how most of it happened, but we've got a lot of things that have changed. Lots of things have changed. The materials that things are made out of, the equipment we use, all of those things, everything we do, the PPE, all of those things go forward on what these guys are walking into now. And so I think that and I'm going to throw something out that's probably going to offend somebody, but cancel culture, you know, we can't cancel this stuff. This is things that happen. And so why did they happen? So maybe they happened at a different time, but that doesn't mean that we can't still get it from that same cause, that same issue. So why not detail what's taking place from in the past to the future so we can build off of it? We do it with we're still using things, I would think, from a long time ago on injuries, okay? So are the guys still getting injured the same way? Sure. Is it decreased? Sure. So what is this telling me about maybe the cancer if we get into a little bit more of the history lesson and bring this stuff forward? Is this not going to produce a better outcome for our firefighters 25 years from now?
Oh, I
can't do anything about me, but I can do something about those guys.
I totally agree with you, Chief, about that. I'm just looking at the logistical way to get that reported from a retiree. And that's why I'm saying if the FIDO number stays true forever, once you you become that and you have access to that FIDO, and they click you retired, then maybe you can maintain that FIDO number where you can log in and say, hey, listen, I just went to my doctor. I've been retired for 5 years. I just went to my doctor and I have cancer. And then you can go through a drop down and you can offer any of that information. And you can even click that through one of those agencies you worked for. I worked for the Bryan Fire Department, and I click that agency on my drop down and say, I worked here for however many years. This is my role's responsibility. I was diagnosed with cancer today, and this was the cancer. And maybe that generates a report or a database that logs that information, where not only is it notified to the commission that says, hey, we just had an individual log. He is a retiree. It shows that he has cancer on this. And this is what his little synopsis is. But then it also sends a message to that department that he checked, that I worked for the Bryan Fire Department. Bryan Fire Department gets notification that a retiree has cancer. And then that chief can reach out, or whoever in that department can reach out to them and say, hey, what's going on? And that way the notification happens and we can look at it. Like, for instance, I think Tony can agree with this. And we're just like so many other fire departments, that an event happens. And then over the years, we see majority of the guys start popping hot for cancer that were at that event, that recycling center fire that happened so over many years ago. And then we start seeing our guys long-term from that one associated event. And so I think that it would allow us to, I agree with you, something's got to give. We got to keep putting it on there. We've got to figure out a solution to this problem, because as much as we push to have cancer really start being promoted to be reported by our departments, when a guy comes and says, chief, I got cancer, report it as workers' comp. Let workers' comp figure this thing out. But then your next thing you do is you turn on the FIDO and you report that as a reportable cancer. I think that we've got to figure out this, because we have so many retirees that are coming down with it. And somebody's got to, like you said, it's a history lesson, but it changes the future of what we're doing today by knowing what happened yesterday. So,
hey guys, if I could throw something out here, and this is I'm going to try really hard not to sound like the bureaucrat apparently I am having to become. We all, as firefighters, we're passionate about this, all right? I've dealt with cancer myself, okay? I'll tell you that it was never reported through the city of Galveston, so it's not a workers' comp reportable injury, and the commission doesn't know a damn thing about it, okay? Nobody knew about it until I'm sitting here telling you about it today. What we're trying to do here, this discussion we're having here, is we're taking our passion for making this a safer job, and we're trying to mix that and capture that information in a statutorily outlined report. And it's not possible to do. There's no way to do it. The individual FIDO numbers, they're not for life. As soon as somebody retires, if they no longer maintain their certification, it goes away in our system. It's I don't know where it is. We've got it somewhere. We can find it, but that number doesn't stay with them. There's no way for an individual to report an injury. There's no way for a retiree to come back and report an injury. There's no avenue for that legally to do that. And the bigger problem is that, yes, we have to capture worker comp reportable injuries. If you've ever seen one of these reports that we get from workers comp, you can't delineate a firefighter report from me sitting here as a state worker that falls down the steps in this building trying to come to work or go home. They're just going to give you the numbers of what they have. And so the passion that we all share of trying to capture this and learn from it and get better, I don't think that's going away. To put it into this report, it's not possible. And the other limiting factor is that you're looking at the staff that does the report, and she's in, at least on my screen, she's in the top corner wearing a pink shirt. It's one person. And she does a hell of a job with this, but the real reporting piece, what we all want to do, and I mean that sincerely, what we all want to capture here, it can't come from this, not the way it's designed today. It's going to have to come from something else. Now you've got the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, they're tracking things. You've got the World Trade Center illness website, and they track those. But you know, we got guys right here in Texas that are sick from the World Trade Center because they went as part of Texas Task Force One.
that doesn't show up in what we have here as a worker comp reportable, because that was a completely different level. That was a federal workers comp deal, and that never crossed into the records of Texas workers comp or the Texas fire departments. So it, the discussion is good. The concept is good. And if there's a way we can find to do that, I think we would do it. But the statute that requires us to do this injury reporting right here will not facilitate that. And we can't even try to accomplish it. We just don't have the, we don't have the means to accomplish that. So I'm not complaining. I'm just cautioning you that we're getting way outside of the scope of this. And I know we've heard that for years. When I sat on that committee with you guys, we heard it every year, and it probably didn't register with all of us. I'll tell you, I've learned a lot about it. I've been drinking from a fire hose for a year now, and I've learned a lot about this. Some things need to change. We don't have the ability to change it. As I sit here as the executive director, as the fire service, we can change it, but we're going to have to make some changes before we can really capture what we want to do with this. And so we need to be careful. I mean, we can put these recommendations in here, but they're not going to go anywhere because we're just not statutorily capable of doing it. And so I hope I didn't sound like a state bureaucrat. Unfortunately, I am one now, but I'm trying really hard not to. And I'm going to go home tonight and cry that I had to even go there today. So it just.
Well, so if it's not possible right now, maybe we should make a recommendation so possibly it gets somebody's attention to make it possible in the future. That would be my take. So.
And I agree with you, but again, I'll tell you, these recommendations are not read by the legislature, and the commission as a body, as a state agency, can't go across the street and demand they change something. That has to come from our stakeholders.
Well, but it's easier to allowed, change something.
There's a budget hearing next Monday that I'm not even allowed to comment on, and they're talking about our budget. But the way the law is set up, I can't even be in the room while they're talking about it. I'm going to watch it on TV and wait for a phone call to explain something. But it's very cumbersome and difficult to for me as a state agency director to get a message across the street.
I understand the position you're in, Chief, for sure. And so I guess in my mind, Deer, maybe you can answer this for me. Would it not benefit us then? I mean, at the end of the day, it's about a round way, it's about making sure our guys come every day, but it's also making sure when our guys come on the job, they're going home the same way. And that we can help figure that out long term. And I think you're right, Chief, when you talk about it being something that's personal to all of us. And so as a committee as us, is it not possible for us to make a recommendation for there to be a way to track through the commission, minus this report that has to be done by individuals, the department heads or whoever? Is it possible for us to track for an individual to report cancer himself on our website, and any individual who had a FIDO number at one point in time who didn't, there it falls back on the individual to log on to the TCFP and hit a little drop down tab that says report cancer or cancer button, and then he can go there and he can click on it and say my FIDO number was once this is my first and last name, I served, my last serving department was XYZ, I was diagnosed with cancer on this date. And then for our own personal records as the commission to track, that a way we can see this. Because this is about figuring it out long-term. If our guys getting cancer on the job today and it's just not getting reported. And also when they do retire. And so maybe that allows us to, these health and safety committees to bring forward more information, more insight, to see where we're at. And so I don't know if that's possible. I know it's not going to come off this report, but maybe it's something that we can move to have something to develop rather than there's nothing we can do about it today. Let's start putting that emphasis on let's get it done tomorrow then.
And I think it's certainly possible. I think the working it out, you know, getting there is a whole different dilemma. I mean, because now we're going to task our our IT people and our public information people to do more. And that's a balancing act. I mean, I went just this morning, I went from 4 to 3 IT folks, you know, so we're down one now. Grace is a one person show over there. So at some point we could probably set it up to where something like that could be done over here in another category. But I'll tell you, I don't think we have the resources to be able to do it. So that would have to change too. I really think the solution is a change in the statute and what this report actually captures. I think it's this group, you know, most of you may not know, but this was a shock to all of us that were affiliated with the commission when this came out of the last sunset, which was in 2009. Mm-hmm. We were blindsided by this. And I don't think it was ever very clear in the direction that we got, and what we're working with is a limited statute. I think that has to be revisited. And I think that has to come from the Fire Service of Texas. And I think we could get to where we want to be with it. So we can put it as a recommendation in here. Not sure that's going to go anywhere other than a bunch of people talking about it until somebody takes it across the street and gets it put in the statute.
I think, can this thing not be something that is started at that wellness committee level? I mean, to think outside the box, I mean, we're talking about taking it to the legislature and them approving it and all that stuff. Well, that's all great and well, but I mean, we need some data back to me to even prove the point why we need to be pushing this. You know, and if we don't have that data, we're sitting there talking and they're going, okay, blah, 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 blah. You know, you don't really have anything to tell us. But if you've got stuff on actually that you put together and the wellness committee is saying, hey, this needs to be looked at from this standpoint. This is the history. This is where we've gone. This is where we're going. And we're not going backwards. The numbers aren't going down. And yeah, the passion is there because I got kids in this business, and I don't want to see them have to go through what I've gone through, what you've gone through, Daniel, having friends that you have to put in the ground. I mean, there's nothing good about that. So I think, yeah, from a passion standpoint, yeah. But wherever we've got to have some kind of push, we've got to start somewhere. I don't care where we start. We just need to start.
Well, So I know Chief Wisco gave us a bureaucratic view or explanation. I'm going to give you one for a guy who's not a bureaucrat from the Bronx. So I we're all passionate about the cancer. We all agree that retirees and folks who've separated from the fire service for whatever reason, and whether they're an individual holder or not, that we should be tracking that cancer. And what I'm afraid of is, we'll make that recommendation and we're all going to leave this meeting feeling good about ourselves because, yeah, we pushed that issue without actually realizing not a dang thing's going to happen to it, because it didn't happen last year. We made that recommendation last year, and I'm standing here telling you after 365 days, nothing happened, because there is no avenue. There's no venue. There's no legislation. There's no way to track it. So a lot of these discussions we seem to have, I always want to ask, so what if I was a firefighter in New Jersey or in California or in New Mexico? How do they track it? Where is that at? So maybe the Texas Commission on Fire Protection is not the place for retirees to be reporting that. Maybe it needs to go through the International Association of Firefighters. Maybe it needs to go through something else. So I think throwing that in this report just makes us feel good, and that's it. So if we are passionate about it, perhaps we visit this somewhere else on another day. Maybe it's another item we put on an agenda to take to the commission, to have the commission visit it. Maybe the commission can weigh in and make suggestions. But I think throwing that in this report just dilutes what we're trying to say in this report by making recommendations that are impactful to the future. We go back to the mission statement. And yeah, you can tie all this cancer information into there. But once again, how do you do it? How do you get that? Well, you can impact education and the safety of our firefighters down the road. So that's just my 2 cents worth. If one of y'all want to include it in here, I'm not going to complain and have heartburn about it, but I think it's just making ourselves feel better and it's diluting what's going to happen. So let's keep it this. We've already got a pretty long list of recommendations taken to the commission, and the Health and Wellness Committee hasn't even weighed in on it yet.
Hey, so Daniel, all due respect, Daniel, I'm kind of offended by the making ourselves feel better statement. We fought for years and years to get cancer as a presumptive bill. We stair-stepped that bill all the way up. And to historical perspective, even if it's from retirees, will help the active firefighters in the battle with cancer and mitigation and prevention. So have whatever opinion you want, but I mean, that I'm a little offended by that. I'm not doing this to make myself feel good. I'm doing this to do better for our guys and our sons and our daughters. Nothing more than that. So asking for something doesn't hurt anything. Making a recommendation from professional firefighters on this committee should have some kind of impact on the people that read it. I just don't see why we're not making a recommendation. They refuse the recommendation, then they refuse it. But we should be able to make the recommendation and then take the fact that this committee made a recommendation, walk across to the Capitol with our lobbyists and say, hey, this is something that may need to happen, and get it and put into a bill. So that's all I got.
Well, I certainly apologize if you're offended. I guess it's a part of me that's offended that we made this recommendation a year ago and nothing happened. Not a thing happened. So I think if we make the recommendation again and a year from now, still nothing's happened, at some point we need to realize why we're doing this. So what are we accomplishing? That I'm all about results. And I agree, I think we're all on the same page, we're all in agreement that not just retirees, but folks, the member that just died in clean fire department was 37 years of age. A year ago, if he left the fire department, he's still 20 years from retirement. If he went to work for, I don't know, Costco, and he came down with the same cancer, no one would ever have known that. He wouldn't even have been an individual certificate holder. Not everybody that leaves the fire service maintains their certificate. Matter of fact, I would go out on a limb and say 90% of them don't. Daniel Buford, you were talking about using the FIDO system. I work for a department that's got more than 2,000 members. I promise you more than 1,900 of them have never even heard of FIDO other than the name of a dog. And they have no idea how or what that would even be tracked while they're on the job today. So I think this is a subject that needs to be addressed. I think there's a need for it. I just don't think that putting it on this report is going to even start to address that solution. If we're that passionate about it, let's address it as a separate standalone issue at our next meeting. Put it on the next commission meeting. Ask the commission, what are their views on this? How do we track members who separate from the fire service and come down with cancer? Or they change departments. You have what's confusing about the FIDO, there's a lot of folks that have more than one department that they're a member of. So what number would they get? It's easy to say, let's just track it, and it's important. I'm not downplaying the importance of that. I'm just saying the reality of it, it's not going to happen. So let's go somewhere else with it. Let's take another approach.
I agree, Chief. I think you're correct on that. We've got to, it's, this report's probably not going to make it happen in this report. But for 2 years, I've rang the same bell about, we have a everybody returns home. We have a Highway Institute class that we do that's required by the commission, but we don't have one that shows, like you said, those 1,900 other guys in your department that what is required, gear cleaning, identifying these NFPA things, saying that you have a right to gear washers, that you should be doing these things, that department should have a policy in play. We don't have that. We were, Marty Langton from Houston came and stood in front of us and said he has never seen that policy ever before, that they don't have access to gear washers in Houston, that they don't have the ability for them to do that. And their members may have never known that that was a requirement by their department. And so as TCFP as a commission, maybe we put a class out there that's developed out of that committee that's there that says, hey, let's show guys about decon. Let's talk to them about decon. Let's talk to them about practices, about the policies that their department should have. That way we can make sure. And at that point in time, however we go about figuring it out, that you can report cancer yourself through a website, through the commission, that you, even after you retire, this is the opportunity for you to do it. Yes, some of it has to go back on the individual himself to go about the process and report it. But let's go out there and let's touch base on the one thing that's killing our guys, killing them now, like the 14 people you see that are under 40 that got cancer. But let's talk about the things for when you retire. And that way we have the ability, we're teaching our people now that what is required by the commission, by their department, what NFPA is talking about on their gear and deconning it, deconning after fires. Let's put that information out there and let's make sure that all the other individuals, the 1,900 individuals or the 4,000 individuals in your department who maybe have never heard anything about that, what's required and what's out there for us. So let's protect them. Let's put it into play through a program that we develop ourselves outside of this report that tells the firefighter from day one, this is required, that every guy or girl that goes to the fire academy, that this is requirement. Just like we do with that highway class and like we do about the other stuff that we require, let's do it for cancer too.
The only thing I would add, guys, is I think Vince was right, though. This cancer, nothing any bigger, but I think that suicide ought to probably be included in that same process. If we track the cancer, I think we ought to track the suicide. I think that's, it may, you know, again, we're not tracking it, so we don't even know how big the number is. But I think it's sure one, mental health ought to be, we ought to be tracking it. Yeah, it's another one. And I think, Chief Deere, you're spot on. We probably need to figure out a way to put that maybe on subject five, subjects for future agenda items. This probably ought to be, how do we make a difference? How do we do something with all of our cancer? How do we do something with suicide so that we are tracking it? And how do we make it happen? And like I say, sounds like Chief Wisco's already told us he can't do it at his office, so we need to find another resource, it sounds like. But I'd say it'd be a great idea to really put some time into talking about it more. And like you guys said, I'm 100% behind all of you. We're very passionate. We're passionate about our firemen. You know, none of us want to go through it. I think we're all trying to make a difference. How best to put that energy into something that gets done? And Daniel, I mean, to your point, if we could just as easily have something that every firefighter has to, you know what I mean? They got to go through this WebEx or whatever it might be to talk about these things, make sure that they understand that this gear should be washed, that this cancer is real. I mean, I could support all of that. I just don't know. And I don't know that we're going to figure it out today, but we need to figure out how do we get bang for all of this work we've put into it. All you guys, well before I got on, have been working this and banging this drum, and you've had success. I think Chief Swindle, you've mentioned that. I mean, we're in a better place than we were 3-5 years ago. But how do we continue to get bang for that buck? You know, how does all of this information and our passion, how do we get that to these firemen so that 3, 5, 10, 20 years from now, we really did make a difference? I'd say that's our challenge, you know, and I don't know how best to do it, but apparently talking to Chief Wisco, maybe running it through TCFP isn't going to be enough. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but if he doesn't have the money, doesn't have the people, we're going to find a better vehicle, would be my guess.
Okay. So, Deb, I see you writing over there. So we're trying to make recommendations to the commission based off of this report. Could you read back to us what we have, where we're at on that list?
Right. So far, what I've got is that somewhere in here we need to break out a coworker contact on the exposure side of the house. We need to highlight the requirement that is currently on page 38. We need to highlight the requirement about the reporting. We need to move that to the front of the report. We need to mandate reporting.
We somehow want to break out the burn injuries under station duties to identify if they were cooking or something else. We want to break out roadway injuries or accidents that occurred on the roadway. And then this is just a note to myself to start exploring the option of or the idea of separately somehow tracking cancer and suicides. And that note is not to be a recommendation, but it is something that I'm making a note to myself to start trying to think that one through and have some conversations about that.
On the subject of the cancer and the psychological stress, because I don't think we should use suicide necessarily. I mean, that would be a component of the psychological impact. Is that something that we could put on the agenda for the commission to get them to weigh in on that and then put it on a future meeting date for us to address as a separate subject?
I honestly think it's going to be right now in my head, it's going to be a comment from me when we're talking about the injury report. And I'm going to somehow try to summarize this last hour here that we've spent talking about it, and that it's a passion. There's a need, and I'll just throw it out there, and we'll see where it goes. I mean, it could become another agenda item. Somebody could certainly submit a request for an agenda item about that, and we can put that on there. We get those all the time. So there's a couple different ways to handle it, but that note is to me to try to start thinking through this and figure out how something like that could be done. I'm not saying it doesn't need to be here with us. I'm also saying that we got to figure out what that would look like and what the options are there. So it's certainly worthy of a continued discussion, but is it a recommendation here? It can be. I think for the next year, we're probably going to be disappointed because we didn't see anything happen with it. We've got to figure out the right way to address that. So those are the recommendations we've captured, aside from my note to myself.
Should we also add to that long grocery list about maintaining consistency in the formatting of the report?
Actually, that's the first one I have, and I didn't read that off. That's to have a standard report format. And so that can certainly be a recommendation, but I'll point out we've had a lot of recommendations today to change the format. So it's going to be a challenge. So.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, the only
what thing, else, guys? Any other discussion?
The only thing I was going to say, Chief, was, and I think Chief Wisco pointed it out as well, and I mean, and again, it's my ignorance probably, but if when he pitches this to the commission, if they choose to not really want to talk about or do anything with the mental health issue, the cancer, then are we, then what, I'm saying, I think we kind of take guidance from them. I mean, if they choose to not want to push it back to us to work on it, I don't know what that process is. I mean, are we kind of out of gas then? I just was curious, I guess, more than anything else, how that process really works.
Well, and I think just from my experience and perspective here, the commissioners are going to be very careful with that, and they're going to want to stay within the statutory authority. So that's where this starts to get fuzzy, if you will. And so we need to be having broader conversations about these topics and what we can do with that. Just because the commissioners don't necessarily kick it back to you guys or create a whole nother ad hoc committee to look at this kind of stuff doesn't mean it has to go away. I think it's a fire service issue. But one thing I want to say, and a couple of you touched on it, just because we're not capturing this information in our report does not mean, and I think we can show where we're working every day to make improvements in cancer. We're working every day to make improvements in the mental health issues. Whether we capture it in a report about what happened or not. I mean, 1851 itself, guys, there's not a better cancer prevention effort in the United States than what we've done here in the state of Texas as far as adopting 1851. And it's political, and it's the fire chiefs against the union, and it's all about money. But we've made a hell of a lot of strides since we mandated 1851 in the state of Texas. And when you break it down, it's all about making it safer for everybody else. It's not going to help a single one of us, but it's going to help that kid that's coming to work tomorrow at whatever fire department here in Texas, because the gear's better. We're taking better care of it. We're educating them and training them better. We can't make them do it, but we can put the information in front of them. We've got the rules out there that mandated, and I think we're seeing some huge improvements there. The mental health awareness stuff, we've pushed it to the forefront here as far as an educational piece. We got a health and wellness committee deeply embedded in trying to improve that. And there's efforts all over the state because of that. So don't think for a minute that we're not, as a body, as the Texas Fire Service through this agency, are not making strides to make it better. We might not be captured in a history report, but we're showing it in our actions. And I don't think that's ever going to stop. I know, looking at this group of people in this meeting, it's not ever going to stop. And I've been around here a long time, and we've come a long way in all of this, and we'll continue to get better at it. As far as I can say, while I'm sitting here, it's going to be on the forefront, whether we do it through rules or other things. But we just got to figure out the best avenues to accomplish that.
So is there any further discussion about the action item we're talking about, which is approval and recommendations on the injury report?
Chief Deere, I've got one thing. If you'll join me on page 43, and I'll be very brief with this. First and foremost, Grace, excellent job on all this. This is giving us tools to do so much work. And when I first joined this committee, Chief Year told me that I'm going to be working with some very passionate individuals, and that today is just another example of it. So number four, the first bullet point, consider early detection testing. Is there any way to partner with the Health and Wellness Committee and come up with specific recommendations as far as the types of screening, the testing, and recommendations on that? And the reason that I bring that up is because as we've brought 1851 into light and into play, and people are starting to think about this, some of the smaller departments around here, I've had some questions from a couple of them asking, where do we begin with that? Where does that screening take place? How can we get the early detection testing done? The concern that I saw was, in doing some research, there are some, and I don't want to say necessarily fly by night, but some less than reputable sources where they advertise a mail-in thing where you can spit in a bottle and they say that they will screen it for 5,000 types of testing. Is there something that we can say specifically, these are the types of tests that we need to be looking at specifically for the fire service, so we don't have members or departments throwing money away on tests that aren't going to do them any bit of good and give them a false sense of security whenever it comes to early detection testing?
Hey, Daniel? Yeah. I think that the Health and Wellness Committee, or Commissioner Sharma, has a document from the Boston Fire Department that outlines tests to propose to your GP that are more specific for firefighters, early testing and different kinds of testing. So they should have that document. If not, I have it. So.
Okay, that would be useful for me, because I know there's been some confusion with some people that I've talked to on where to go and what kind of tests would be useful.
Do you have a medical control doc available to you?
I have a resource I could reach out to on something like that. I'm talking about making that information available to the service.
Right. I was just wondering, though, if they work close enough with you where they would, like our doc, I could call him and ask him through my chief, one of my chiefs, to look into that, to see what would be, from our standpoint, what would he be looking at, you know? So I don't know. I mean, it's just, you try to make sure that you're trying to screen for cancer, you're trying to screen for any other disease. Is that what you're talking about, basically?
Yeah, just getting that information out to the state level so everybody knows, okay, this is what we're looking at, as opposed to seeing something on, an advertisement on Facebook and then a department throwing away money on tests that aren't really going to do any good in the long run.
And doesn't the IFF have some type of testing that they throw out there for you to take?
I have no idea.
There's resources out there, and Jim highlighted on them too, with some recommendations that's listed.
Okay. I'm aware that the Health and Wellness Committee does have that document that Jim referred to. Chief Wisco, I know you and I have talked a while back about on the drop-down menu on the TCFP website, you know, where the TIMS and the Courage to be Safe, and then there's a drop-down bar for the Health and Wellness Committee. Could we just put that information underneath that tab for the Health and Wellness Committee? So a department such as Daniel Anderson's, they could go to that website and go to the Health and Wellness Committee and see that very document that committee's been working with in the Boston Fire Department.
Yes, and when we had that conversation a couple of weeks ago, we're gonna pursue moving that Health and Wellness program to its own tab, so that all that opens up underneath there. And the conversation was about, you know, from this injury report having possibly some required CE and things of that nature. But we don't have a dedicated website person any longer. But we're trying to navigate through that and make some changes to the website. It's on a list with some other things, and IT guys are busy. We're trying to move everything to the cloud right now, and they're having pretty good luck, but that's kind of the priority. But it's certainly on the list to do that, and we can add whatever we need to under that tab.
Okay. Yeah. So when staff has the ability to do that, that may be one resource, Daniel Anderson. We could go ahead and post that information there. And then Daniel Buford, you know, that Health and Wellness Committee could also have some information in a tab underneath there about the regulations for 1851 and the cancer concerns, so that members could at least have a place to go do research so they could find some of that information. So yeah, I'll address that with the Health and Wellness Committee and see if they can put that information on there as an educational process.
I'd definitely like to come back to it on a different day and address an 1851 class required by the commission, just like we have for other things. Just so our guys are required to review that materials, to know what's required from their department in case somebody else decides to drop the ball, that they know what's the protected rights for them. So.
Okay. All right. So we have that laundry list of recommendations to forward on to the commission. Does anybody else have anything to add to that, or any other comments for the sake of time? So, Chief Wisco, we need a motion to actually move that forward to the commission. Is that correct?
Yes. And realize you'll see it again. Grace is working this draft right now. We'll include those in the first draft. The commissioners will see it at their April 29th meeting. It'll then automatically get kicked back to you guys in June. And so you'll get to see this again.
So that's a win-win. So in other words, if we have a motion to forward that laundry list to the commission, we'll get a chance to see it again, and we have another opportunity to revise it or adjust it, delete, add things to it, whatever we want to do.
Yes.
So that...
We just need to...
I'll entertain a motion to send a preliminary report on to the commission.
Yeah, Chief DeYeer, this is Keith. Yeah, I make that recommendation with the changes and additions as we've discussed.
Okay. Got a second.
Second.
Okay, Ken Swindle. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, motion carried.
Item number 5, subjects for future agenda items.
So we opened up a door and hinted at a few items if anybody's passionate about putting anything on there.
I'd like to make a motion, our recommendation, if we can. I'd like to see what the avenue would be to create an 1851 class be required part of our materials for holding your commission, for holding your certificate. So just like we have the National Highway Transportation, the Courage to Be Safe, and then an 1851 knowledge class. I don't know what it, and earlier, you know, go through the motion to just kind of see what it would take and if that's feasible, but I think it needs to be something that's on our horizon for our future. Definitely a target for us to start aiming for and taking a shot at.
Second.
Does it need to be a motion?
No.
It doesn't need to be a motion. So we'll just put that on there. I mean, it's done. That'll be a future agenda item.
Doesn't Lion and some of the other companies have an online class that goes through that whole process of from when you get your PPE to how you care for your PPE, what you're supposed to do every time after a call, all those things. Isn't there something available from them?
Chief, I'm sure there's probably something out there that we could utilize as a reference for sure. But I think it would serve a purpose if we took our outside influences out of it and really kind of kept it in-house where here's what the manufacturer recommendations, 1851 states this, according to the TCFP, your department's required to have a policy in this. That way it kind of brings it to light to where guys have to go and now recognize that. So they could talk about on any level, early reporting, screenings. Here's the identified cancers in the state legislation as of right now. It could any of those things. It could.
That's going to have to be a class built then.
Yes, sir.
Reedy
did a great presentation to the commissioners and our committee about a year ago. Maybe we capture that on video with some refined, updated information, and then we make that the training. We'll let Jim be the leader on that because he does a phenomenal job with it.
And on that note, Chief Wisco, I'd like to thank you for those Facebook classes that you offered up this past year where we talked about the health and wellness and safety stuff. And I know that came out of the committee and stuff like that, but that's just one avenue. And I appreciate that as a firefighter today that also represents firefighters. And so I appreciate that material and you going out there and having those discussions. So.
Well, thanks. And we're hoping to be able to do more of that. I mean, again, that's fallen squarely on Grace and a couple other people here on staff that, you know, we come up with these great ideas, but they have to make it work. But I want to continue that we get to the point, hopefully, that every month we're doing something. There's some topic that we're putting out there and we're using a communication means that the firefighters today are familiar with and can relate to. And so Facebook right now seems to be working and we get a great response from those. So we're going to try to continue that. And this topic right here could just be one more that we could dedicate some time to.
Okay, any other future agenda items? Okay.
Do we even want to think about touching on what we talked about today again next time as far as the cancer, just what's available, possibly direction or and suicide. I know you want to call it something else, and I agree with that. I don't think it needs to be called suicide, but I do think we need to. I think if we don't bring them up, we're going to sit here in a year like you talked about. And I know that's frustrating for you because you're a move on type of guy. You like to get it done and get it over with. And let's go to the next thing. And I don't disagree with you, but I think this is one we've kind of stalled on and we need to, I don't know. I'd kind of like to to run, take another run at it.
Well, there is, I'll tell you now that there is going to be an agenda item for the commissioners. It's going to be a brief presentation from the Firefighter Cancer Network. I would right now anticipate something from that coming your direction at your next meeting.
Good.
I mean, I guess I have it kind of second Chief Swindle's thought there. I mean, could we possibly put it as a future agenda item? And if for nothing else, we just recap kind of, you know, some stuff that's maybe gone on, it's gone before the commissioner, just something to kind of keep it in front of us as well, to where we maybe it's a 15 second, here's where we are, there's nothing else to be done, I don't know, but just to keep those out in front of us, try to keep them as action items to where we can maybe discuss, you know, or if there's some stuff that's maybe changed or something, because that, like I said, obviously we're all passionate about it. I sure don't have any problems with putting it on future agenda, you know, as a future agenda item to talk about further, but that's y'all's decision there.
Well, we've already got a note for it, and whether we make it a note on there or not, it's going to come up because the injury report's going to be back in front of you. So
there you
go. I don't think it's going to get lost.
Awesome. Chief DeYeer, anything else on this subject?
No, if nobody else has any other future agenda items, we'll move on with our agenda.
Number six, future meeting dates.
I believe June 10th is our next one. Is that correct?
Yeah, June the 10th.
Okay. And we'll do it there in Austin, correct?
Yes. And so just to briefly touch on that, we're working on a plan here to start having the meetings in person again, but we're going to not only broadcast them on Facebook, we're going to make it a Zoom meeting as well. We've seen some pretty good participation numbers in the last year using Zoom, and there's no reason why we can't use it in conjunction with the in-person meetings. I think everybody agrees that in-person meetings are the best, but why couldn't we broadcast it over Zoom so that people that can't get here can still see what we're talking about and hopefully participate? So we're working on that. There's also a bill at the legislature for that very thing. So we're probably stepping out in front of them a little bit, but the legislature is addressing this as a meeting concern moving forward.
Okay.
Hey, Mike, what were those, the House bill and Senate bill you told us again, what were those numbers?
709 on Senate and House bills 1845.
Thank you.
And one other thing, Chief Wisco, would it be possible for those future meetings to have our participation also? Let's say something comes up, someone can't make the commute. Could we still have it where our board members, you know, could possibly still come in on a Zoom meeting and still participate?
That's what the legislators are working on right now. They're going to have to put that law before that can be allowed. But I think it's coming. I think we learned a lot in the last year. And I think you'll see that come from this legislation moving forward after September 1st.
Well,
not forecasting how the bill's going to go, but it's certainly in front of them right now. So,
well, I have one of the shorter commutes probably as any one of our members has, but for some of the folks that are coming 3 or 4 hours, like you say, to be able to, you know, to have them attend via Zoom may make some more of these meetings available to them that they might would have to miss. So,
right. Yeah,
that's awesome. So we got Juneteenth. Do we have other dates, Deb, you can give us?
June the 10th is that one. And then the next one will be September. Hang on, we're looking it up. Got a September and a December. September 16th. I want to say December was early, like the 4th or something. Second, December 2nd. Week.
All of them at 9 o'clock?
So far, unless y'all want to change that.
No, we'll leave it at 9.
No, that's perfect.
Really hard for me to get here from my house by 9, you know. I mean, if we...
that was a joke, son. I just want to say thank you again to Grace and the rest of the commission. We just appreciate all your hard work. And Daniel, I appreciate you stepping up for president again. I know it means a lot to you to do the right thing. So I do appreciate you doing that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, I'll echo the appreciation for Grace putting this report together and helping us work through it and understand it. So, thank you.
Okay. Item number 7, adjourn meeting.
I got one item. Just remind everybody to go look at the those Senate bills and House bills, because there is some changes in there that affect us as far as committee.
Okay. Yeah, and I was remiss. I need to point out there is another piece of legislation. It relates to that, but it's not in the sunset bill. Senate Bill 897 and House Bill 3398. These two companion bills look to change the makeup of the commission. So you want to take a look at those too. It's separate from the sunset bill, but you know, all these things start merging together as we get closer to the end of the session. There is also a sunset safety blanket bill that if for some reason our sunset bill doesn't make it, there is a separate bill by the Sunset Commission that will extend our agency at least for 2 more years until they can resolve this issue. So that one won't come into play as long as this 709 passes. But the other one I gave you, 897, Senate Bill 897, House Bill 3398. Go take a look at that. It's from Senator Paxton, and it changes the makeup of the commission.
Okay, thank you.
Item number 7, adjourn meeting.
I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
Jim Reedy seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Y'all be careful.
Y'all stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you.